Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kayla-Thompson.
My name's Adil Avaz. Thanks for joining us for episode 81. And, well, it must be said, the first episode in over 365 days. It's been a year. We had to dust off the microphone, dust off the laptop, dust off my head as well, really, the old bald head. But it's great to be back in the seat, mate. And
it sure is. Good to be here. It sure is, Adam. And welcome back to you. And when you said episode 81 then, I just felt like we were just carrying on from last week's episode. But it's been a little bit longer than that,
yeah,
as you
just
said.
A little bit.
Times have changed, haven't they? Or have they?
Well, they've slightly changed, haven't they?
Since our last episode, which was the Christmas special, end of 2018. So it's kind of a new spin, though, on the podcast, isn't it? Because we've kind of got that to compare to now. We've got the teacher experience with the parent experience. It should hopefully open up some different conversations this year.
It should, and there's a lot of conversations we can have around time management and all those things when, you know, I don't think... We could riff on this later, but I don't think you appreciate how much time you have when you don't have kids. You can go home and do all those sort of things. All of a sudden, kids in your life, and we don't want it, but we're very happy. And I think what needs to be said is we're, you know, in a good place, and and we're happy to be back and things. And another change for you, mate, and I think we probably mentioned it, but you've been teaching STEM full-time now. You taught it last year and teaching again this year, and loving it, from what I can tell.
Absolutely loving it, Adam. And I was going to say that I think I put it on the post that we put up on our Facebook page during the week, but we see ourselves as still regular teachers, don't we? But our roles have changed slightly, and there's different leadership roles. And becoming a specialist teacher, and this is something we'll touch on in one of our topics today, has been an absolute eye-opener and a new experience. But you know, I think I'll talk in future episodes. It's certainly tapping into some of my passions, and I've said to a few people recently, it's possibly the job that I wanted 10 years ago. It's taken this long to actually discover it or be given that opportunity. So it's been a great start, and it's given me a new angle to look at being a regular teacher.
Yeah, and we are going to touch on that later in the podcast. We've got a bit of a topic on that, and we want to get straight into it. We've got a couple of topics we're going to talk about. We're going to keep it a little bit shorter than normal, just to test the waters. And we do, before we get into it, we want to say thanks to, when we put that post up, the likes, and we got a few good likes and some comments and things. It's good to know that people still want to listen after all this time and remember who we are.
Oh, I couldn't believe it, Adam. And those people know who they are. We responded. But it's given me a real lift. And I think we're ready for a new era, aren't we?
Yeah, the new era of two regular teachers. We're a little bit older. Not so much, a little bit more wiser.
Both a bit greyer.
Bit greyer.
You did mention more hair falling out. Has some fall. I mean, I'm certainly got the grey... I mean, that could be becoming a father.
I don't really know if I've got more to fall out, to be perfectly honest. But and I don't know if it's kids that's done that. But we do want to say we're really excited to be back. And we're going to say that later on. But we want to hopefully do more episodes and be a little bit more regular as regular teachers. But we're going to see how it goes tonight. So without further ado, mate, let's get stuck into the first topic.
I'm ready. Adam, for our first topic tonight, I thought I'd touch on something that is pretty much paramount at the start of a school year, and also something that would be happening right now. It probably lays a really important foundation for the school year, and that's the relationship between teacher and parent. And there was an article on the ABC over the January break talking about, it interviewed three teachers, one retired and two current teachers, names changed. And the question was, what are the key ingredients to making a good parent-teacher relationship, and what can parents do to help the teacher the most? I thought it's a good opportunity to talk about that. I'm sure a lot of our listeners who are teachers are right in that now. You often get information from your previous the previous teacher of a student, don't you, the previous year, about what perhaps to expect from some parents. Sometimes you know the family, you've taught siblings. Other times it might be a new family to the school, and you've got to start that relationship from the ground up. The first question that they asked in the article was around what can teachers do, or what can parents do, to be involved, and how involved should a parent be? I thought maybe I'll throw to you first, Adam, in terms of straight off the top of your experience, how involved, what would be your gut feeling initial answer to that question? How involved should a parent be in the school?
I think it's a really tough one, because I think there's a fine line of being too involved. I think there's some parents who say, no, you can't be too involved in your kids' learning. And to an extent, I would agree. But I think it's that parent who when the involvement comes out, they just support their child's learning. So when things come home, when homework comes home, they're happy to help them, they're happy to listen to them read. You know, they pop their head in. I love the parents who pop their head in at the start of the year, particularly if I'm having a kid. You know, I've been at Mount Dunedin now for 11 years, and I still have kids that come through that I haven't had any of the family. I love that parent pops in and introduces themselves. I still get caught up in going, oh, it's Adam. And they go, yeah, I know. And, oh, yeah, that's right, of course. And, you know, but just they pop their head in and say g'day, and you can see that they take some enjoyment out of watching their child grow up and learn, and they just want to be involved and are hanging around all the time, and they're happy to get in touch with you. I think happy to, you know, come up and be honest with you and say, look, I'm having this issue here, but I understand there's other things at play and all those things. And I don't really think in the end you can be too involved up to a certain point. I feel like I'm giving a very generic answer, but no, I think it's a hard, it's a fine line with the involvement.
But I'm going to pick up one thing that you said, which I think is important, is that I think there can be an engaged parent in the child's learning, that they can be engaged, but not always be physically present. I think that's what you're kind of saying.
Yeah,
and you
definitely
kind of know the parent that, like you said, comes in and visits early, perhaps comes to like an early interview if you have your February sort of meet and greet time. I think it's easy to understand the parent that's invested in their child's learning, but you still might not see them all that much, particularly in the upper levels, because maybe they work full time. I think there is a distinct difference between the parent that is just absent and the one that maybe is physically absent.
Yeah.
One of the answers says get involved when invited, is what one of the teachers on the article has answered. I think that's an interesting one. And they've mentioned leaving at the designated time. And I think certainly for the junior grades, it might seem like, a Band-Aid being ripped off quickly, but I think that's important for parents to step away and let their child become independent.
Mm. And just to piggyback on that as well, I think it's hard for parents in the lower grade to understand that there are 22 kids in that classroom, and yes, they're worried about their child, but the teacher has to be worried about 22 students, not just one. And yes, every kid has different needs, but they need to be understanding of the fact that there's a lot going on, and that sometimes, we need to help out this student or this group of students and things, and it's not always about them and their student. And not to worry, because we're aware and we do want every kid to learn and we do want to support them. So to kind of, with that involvement, they've also got to back us. And I think it's really good about when they leave, they need to look at us and go, I trust you. I trust that you're going to look after my daughter or my son. I'll be back later to pick them up. If anything comes up, I know you're going to let me know. Have a fantastic day. And cut the apron strings a little bit and trust us to teach and look after their child.
Great. I think another interesting one that I pulled out of it was about communication between parents and teachers in terms of what form of communication you use. So a lot of schools have things like written notes in the diary, emails, and that's where it can get contentious. I've known some staff over the years to even give out a phone number, which is against my sort of principles. I think that's opening yourself a little bit, but that's my opinion. But then also schools now have so many different kinds of apps and ways to push notices out to parents, don't they?
Yep.
I know that over the past I've been quite happy to exchange emails with parents, and you've got, and I'm sure you're the same, we kind of have a few email addresses, so you can have one that you can kind of designate for work related things. I learned a long time ago not to check that work email just before I go to bed. There was one time many years ago when I did, when I got quite a difficult email from a parent and I didn't sleep well that night. So again, there's a fine line there, isn't there?
There is, and I think communication needs to be open, and I think the word patience also needs to come up as well. Particularly if you send an email and you have an issue, you got to understand that the teacher's still teaching, that we are going to get back to you, we are going to try and organize the time, we are going to follow through and things like that, but we've got a job and we've got to teach it and that sort of stuff. And I'm quite happy. I always say to parents, my door's always open. There are nights where I have meetings, but if you want to come in and have a chat, that door is always open. And just keeping that line of communication open, and the parents know that if they do have an issue, you're never too busy. It's never too much. Get in touch. We will try and find a way to deal with it and things. So if that is, they stick a note in the diary, they want to come in, it's a phone call, it's an email or something like that, I think.
And yet there has to be that time, though. I reckon there has to be that understanding of respective time, though.
That's what I was saying before about it, too.
I remember many years ago, I was teaching a maths workshop, and I remember it was something like 11:30 in the morning, and a parent walked in and stood on the edge of the classroom, just walked in. It was kind of that awkward moment where you keep teaching and then looked over and this parent said, "I need to see you." And it was because the kids are all looking at me like, what are you going to say? And I had to respond and say, let's catch up at lunchtime. And again, that was, I had to sort of work my way through that one because it was inappropriate, let's be honest, to walk into my classroom. Yep. So yeah, look, communication is an interesting one. And to kind of, I guess, finish off like on a more lighter note, one of the questions down the bottom of the article was about what gifts should you give to teachers. Now, immediately I thought, I kind of don't want to, we've talked about gifts before on the podcast, but like, I don't want to say you should give a teacher a gift because there's no rule book to say that you should.
Of course not.
Two of the teachers responded in terms of getting a heartfelt message. And before I get onto the lighthearted moment, I don't know about you, but for me, you know when you get those detailed written messages about the difference you've made in that child's life from a parent, to me that really hits home in a really nice way.
It does, and I can jump on there and say, you know, the end of last year, using as a guide there, I got some, just the parents and some of the kids, just some lovely messages, and it does, it almost brings a tear to your eye to know that that's been appreciated during the year and stuff, and it means more than anything. You know, I actually keep those. I keep a lot of that stuff and have it away in a box and stuff, because I don't, you know, it's so good to come back to it. It's almost a health and well-being thing. You know, you come back to it and read it and understand that even in those dark moments when you're tired and you're struggling, a lot of the parents out there really appreciate what you're doing, and it means a lot.
That's a great point. And I think if there's any graduate teachers listening out there, what Adam just said, keep those cards.
Mm.
And like you said, definitely go back to them. I certainly do the same thing. Just to finish off with the gifts, I think it's John, his name's been changed, a teacher from New South Wales, said in response to that, what gifts, he just wrote, wine, I've got enough mugs. And I thought, wow. I think, come on, John, you know, I mean, geez. I know once that a colleague of mine actually said, while I was away one day, gave a plug to my grade and said that Mr. KT likes wine, which I do. I got 16 bottles of wine that year, Adam. Now, a lot of people are like, what did you do? I felt like, I felt slightly guilty walking out. Yeah, bottoms falling out of the bag, you know, like bottles of Shiraz, you know.
Have you actually drunk all of those, or there are still a few sitting in the wine rack?
No, most of those are gone. Some were put in cooking, let's be honest. It wasn't all down the gullet.
That's all right.
But look, we'd love to hear from you, from anyone who listens, about what your experiences have been, particularly at the start of the year. How do you build those relationships with parents? And perhaps we'll talk about it again in a future podcast.
Right, Rick, for our second topic tonight, we actually want to touch on a little bit of your move into STEM, but also we want to have a wider look at specialist teaching. Now, I hope you don't mind me saying that your move into STEM has, and I think you touched on it off the top as well, has reinvigorated you as a teacher and reinvigorated your love of being a teacher. As you said off the top, you almost, you know, wish you'd done this 10 years ago. It was almost as if as a teacher you were born into this role, and it's just taken you time to find it. And we wanted to talk a little bit about tonight about the importance of the specialist teacher in the school. And this is not just to say, now you've moved into STEM, specialist has become a more important part of a school. That's kind of not what we're touching on at all. But I think sometimes specialist teachers as a whole are not unappreciated, but kind of are that sort of one that's in the background a little bit. The parents kind of don't know as well, and they're sort of there, and they contribute a little bit here and there. They only have the classes for an hour, but they play such an important role within the school setting. And I thought I'd throw it to you now to sort of say some of the little things you've noticed over the last year about being a specialist teacher and some of the wins and the importance of it that you've seen.
Yeah, I think you've summed that up nicely. I think it's important to note, particularly for our listeners from secondary schools or from other states or outside the country, that the specialist teacher, particularly in the primary setting, is a teacher that takes a specific subject, isn't it? And the kids will go to their space or their room. And in different schools, it can look different, can't it? There's different subjects. Some schools might have lots of music happening. Other schools might not so much. Sometimes it depends on what the leadership of that school kind of wants. And so, like for me, it's tapped. I think I've been lucky in a way, but I'm teaching sort of STEM and STEM skills, and it has tapped into my passions. And I'm thankful to my previous principal for opening up the challenge, because I didn't see it coming.
Yep.
And I wasn't jaded in my classroom teaching, but I think I needed a refresher.
And just to jump in there before you go, we're talking about the reinvigoration. It wasn't you know, you're over being a teacher, but I think all teachers can say when they do something new or do something different, it just gives you a bit of that boost. It's like a shot in the arm, you know, and that sort of, which is what you've had.
And it's made me realise that exactly in education, I think you do need to freshen things up. I think you're right. Outside of the specialist topic for a second, I think it's just really important. And I think this is, the proof is in the pudding, even if times are hard, and it hasn't been a plain sailing. But it's been a great role. A few things that, to get back to your initial point, the specialist teacher can be seen as a bit of a lone ranger. You are kind of working, particularly in the schools that you and I are familiar with, you are working in a collaborative team most of the time, aren't you, in a classroom job. With the specialist teacher, you do check in with each other, the PE teacher and the art teacher, whoever else you got, but you are kind of working on your own. And that's been a really interesting adjustment. It's been really great as well, and it's been also something that's been challenging here and there, and the challenging part's been fine. One thing I've noticed, let's talk about the students for a second, is that I've got, one thing I've loved is teaching across all the year levels. I teach from foundation right through to year six, and I've loved building relationships with all the different age kids. It's also been fun just to teach foundation students. I mean, that's been a real eye-opener in lots of ways.
You've never taught prep before, apart from maybe teaching rounds.
That's right. And I've seen, like particularly, I'm doing a lot of design. There's a lot of digitech involvement. Obviously, we're touching on a lot of science concepts as well. I see kids come alive that might not have come alive in other areas of the school. And I've spoken to some classroom teachers and said, you know, for example, wow, you should have seen Billy today, the way that he constructed that tower using those cups and those materials. And the teacher might say, oh, that's great to hear. Billy's really disengaged at the moment in the classroom. And so I'm seeing kids come alive in STEM. And that's really special.
And you can't understate that. I don't think that can be understated, because I think every teacher out there would say that they've had a student who, you know, reading, writing, maths and those sort of things, they find that a challenge. And then they get the opportunity to go out to sport, they go to art, go to STEM, or they go to a language or something like that. And it just, you can see that this is going to be their passion and where they're going to go. And it's great to see a kid find that, because I think often, you know, they spend so much time doing those other things and they feel like they're behind and they're not good enough and stuff. And then they get to go into a different environment and just thrive. And I think that's where the importance of having specialist teachers and good specialist teachers comes to fore. And I know for me, you know, it's easy for me to say, but you know, we've got specialist teachers in place at the moment that just do a wonderful job. They're well planned, the kids go, they enjoy it, they're learning new things, you know, they're making things. And you can see that some of those kids come back and that, you know, they've had a good session.
Absolutely.
When they come back and talk about it.
Yep.
So when they come back and I go, how was our session? Oh, we did this and we did that. Oh, we had a look at this and had a look at that. You can just see them, but they can't wait to talk about it. And that is the power of a good specialist teacher.
Absolutely. And it's great you touched on that, because you do need people in the role that are passionate. And you're right, that spills back to the kids, because some students look forward to their specialist classes all week. It's the highlight of their week.
Yeah.
I know at our school and some other schools, they kind of group the specialist sessions together. So the year sixes might have three out of their four specialists in one hit. And obviously we're providing then the planning time for the classroom teachers, which is so highly valued. And you and I both know that.
Yep.
So I think it's important as well that the leadership of a school appreciates their specialists as well. And in some schools, we know that sometimes because the classroom program is so important, that the specialist role can be kind of put aside a bit. Well, they go to specialists. That's in, you know.
Yep.
But I think it's so important that, like you said, the teachers in that role and the programs are still valued by the school.
Yep.
Because then that still, again, gets passed down to the students in their passion for it. So that's one thing I've noticed, is that a specialist teacher also has to be really flexible. The timetable changes that get thrown about because of excursions or what have you, our timetable can change sort of week to week almost. And that can affect your planning. Public holidays and all the sorts of things.
And it can, because often you'll have things set up where you might have the 1-2s for most of the day or the 3-4s for most of the day, and then things get changed around. So what you've got for the 3-4s isn't going to work for the 1-2, so you almost have to have more ready to go. And you've got to get out of the zone of teaching 3-4, now you've got to get into the zone of teaching 1-2, and then back into the 3-4s. It can be a challenge sometimes for us, as a, you know, me being in the classroom, I'm teaching 5-6, I'm teaching that all day. I know what frame of mind I've got to be in, but for you have to change potentially a couple of times during the day.
And there's a lot of new curriculum to sort of get your head around. But I'm actually really excited. This is my second year now, and I'm you know, really excited about looking ahead and this year digging deeper into the curriculum and also hitting up a lot of kind of my old sort of PLN colleagues. I've sort of dropped off the perch the last few years, but anyone who's listening who knows me through Twitter or those days, you know, I'd love to hit up, because I know there's a lot of great STEM educators around the state and around the Melbourne area and Geelong area at the moment. Yeah. So looking forward to maybe reacquainting this year, so to speak.
Fantastic, Rick. So I want to finish off by saying we'd love to hear from other listeners about the wonderful work that specialist teachers are doing. And even if you are friends with them on social media, you know, and that sort of stuff, if you want to leave a comment, tag them in it and say thanks for the wonderful work they do, because again, often I think we are thankful for them, but it can be a thankless task sometimes that, you know, teachers get busy and you dump them off to them and you're like, oh, I've got an hour to do my planning and we don't think about it enough. But if you want to tag, you know, some specialist teachers in there to say thank you, please do so. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and give them a shout out.
Fantastic. Well, Adam, it's like an added bonus to be back in the chair and to be able to throw to an anecdote. It's always been one of my favourite parts of the podcast. Well, you're lucky. You get to do it for the first one back. So I'm handing over to you. What have you got for us?
So I had a bit of a think about this one. I don't think we've done it before. Kids on the PA system is one I wanted to talk about this one here. Now,
we're talking the PA system across the school.
Across
like
the school.
Where you hear the bell come out of and the announcements.
Yes, you hear the announcements and that sort of stuff. And some of the great stuff that happens when the students get on the PA system, because I think even for teachers, sometimes when you use the PA system, you can get nervous. And we've all got, I reckon, that person, that staff member in the school who doesn't know how to use it properly and thinks they have to yell into it. You know, so you're playing, dun, dun, good old those students. And they raise their voice when really they just need to speak normally. And you're sitting there and you're like, oh, geez, you know, that sort of stuff. But I thought it was funny, you might have some memories about it, of kids getting on the old PA system to
Absolutely.
Announce something at recess or lunchtime, and they freeze and they don't know what to do. So you hear the dun, dun. Could all, if you're in Red House, there's games going on on the oval.
And then it cuts out too.
Yeah, it cuts out. And then you can hear the other one who's there with them giggling in the background because they're mucking it up. Then thank you. And then the kids know they've mucked up when 15 seconds later, dung, dung, the teacher comes on and goes, so that was just an announcement for all Red House team members. If you'd like to go to the Oval to partake in some games, please meet us over there now. Don't, because they're worried that because you want to give them that opportunity to get on the PA, but then they freeze and they get a bit nervy and they don't exactly know what to say or it's not practiced and things
Absolutely.
Like that.
There is some. It also reminds me of like the announcements at assembly that kids make sometimes. Yep. But it's funny you ask about memories. As soon as you started the anecdote, I remember even back in my own school days, my primary school when I was a kid used to have like a system for the older kids, for the fives and sixes, where you'd get rostered on at a lunchtime to go in and actually be in the office. And so like the office staff obviously would go and have lunch. I can't believe this was done, but we were actually allowed. It was a little program that ran for a while. It didn't run all year, probably for obvious reasons, but we were allowed to answer phone calls.
Wow.
So phone calls came into the school and we were allowed to pick it up and say, hello, you know, it's Rick Kayla Thompson here from Gravedale West Primary School. And then we would have to put over a PA announcement calling that teacher to the office. And a friend and I remember one of my great mates and I got to do it. And it was I can remember being really
That's
buzzed
incredible.
By it.
That's incredible, yep.
But I always remember this, like we had a phone call for our PE teacher at the time and her name was Kelly Bron. And I obviously was Mrs. Bron. So I took the call, and I can't remember, obviously this is like nearly 30 years ago, but I took the call, took the message, got on the PA, and used Kelly's first name as well. And I was supposed to say Mrs. Bron, but I've gone Kelly Bron, because whoever on the phone call it was said Kelly Bron. So I've gone, Kelly Bron to the office, please. Kelly Bron to the office. Mrs. Bron was a bit of, you know, like a pretty strict sort of PE teacher.
Right.
She's walked into the office about 2 minutes later, looked at me and gone, and the phone was still there. So whoever's on the end would have gone, Mrs. Bron to you. Thank you very much. Mrs. Bron to you. And whoever's on the other end of the phone would have heard it. Yes, Mrs. Bron.
Oh, that's great.
Because
really, when you think about it, what big deal is there? Like, you're just putting it over there. And
Absolutely.
That's, you know, and that sort of stuff like that. But I do want to preface, I love that your school did that, because I love the kids getting on the PA. It's part of leadership. It's
Absolutely.
Part of doing those things. But I almost think you could give them a piece of paper with something on there and they'd still make a meal of it. They still go all over the shop. And sometimes I'll start it and stop. Dun. It's almost like they take 5 seconds to go, what are we supposed to do?
Yes, you can hear them. You can hear them in the background.
Dun, dun. So we need, and have to go over that sort of stuff. But I want to give a shout out to all the kids that get on the PA. You're legends.
Absolutely.
It's a tough job, because I think teachers still get a bit nervy of it. And don't use first names, clearly, when you're using the PA system.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you could be in a bit of strife.
You could be in a bit of strife. That's right. So great topic, Adam. And if you've got any PA stories, either from staff or students, send them in to us and we'd love to talk about them.
well, mate, that wasn't so hard, was it? We were a little bit nervy coming in that we could still do it. It's been probably our biggest break between episodes, and we feel like we did okay.
Well, the band never broke up, but it kind of felt like maybe it had. And people had asked in the past, and again, Adam, we said it in the intro, we appreciate people getting in contact with us. And I've been in some schools over the last 12 months, and one or two people in Geelong schools, have asked about us.
Yeah.
And asked whether we were coming back.
Someone's seen my name and gone, oh, you used to do the podcast and things like that, and go, yeah, we did. Yeah, it's kind of that people actually see it and have listened to it. It makes you feel good and stuff that people are, you know, listening in and remembering us and things like that. So now we've got a couple of small changes to how we're getting the apps out that we're hoping are going to work, Rick. That's right,
Adam. So, I mean, there's so many ways now that people can get their podcasts and their music and what have you. So for those people that haven't listened before, we actually originally started with a blog, didn't we?
Yes.
A Global 2 blog. And we're still going to keep that active. So the episode gets published to the blog, and the blog has lots of ways to contact us. We've got a Facebook page, so please give us a like. Yep. You can hit Adam and I up as well via Twitter, if you're on Twitter. We're going to look into an Instagram account, maybe see whether that can work some way. We are on iTunes, but we know that iTunes is something that's probably going to be made kind of redundant at some point in the future. So look out for us on Spotify. In the next week or so, we're going to see whether we can publish our episodes to Spotify, and we're pretty confident about that.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. And speaking of episodes and previous episodes, make sure you go back. We've got a whole 80 episodes.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously, we don't expect everyone to go back through them all, but you'll see on some of the titles of our episodes, it gives you a bit of a hint at maybe what we touched on. And if there's an issue in your school at the moment that's bothering you, or something that you're interested in, hopefully there's something that we've discussed in the past that might be relevant. But we also go back over things, don't we, Adam?
We do.
Depending on what's relevant.
Absolutely. And we're always happy to do topics based on feedback as well. We'd love to hear from you guys. Say, look, this is a big issue at the moment, or have you guys seen this or that? Mm. We're happy to go over it. But we're definitely looking forward to getting on Spotify. We're hoping also to have another episode about 3 weeks' time, maybe week 7, and then possibly another one in week 9, time dependent. But we're absolutely going to get at least one more episode out before the end of term. And then we're aiming to do between 2 and 3 each term, That's what we're hoping. We don't want to push too hard, you know, with your families and reports and things will come up over the year. But it's great to be back, mate, and already looking forward to the next episode in a few weeks' time.
Me too.
So from me, Adam LaVaz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson, and we've both been two regular teachers.